battling for the perception of the Creator's oneness. In the Kabbalah, the masses are known as the homeowners, or Baal Bayit, because their aspiration is to build their own house, or an egotistic vessel, and to fill it with pleasure. The desires of the person who is ascending spiritually stem from the light of the Creator, and focus on the task of building a home for the Creator in his heart, in order for it to be filled with the light of the Creator. We discern all notions and all events according to our own perception. We assign names to the events that take place in accordance with the reactions of our sensory organs. Thus, if a person speaks about a particular object or action, he's expressing a personal perception. An individual determines the level of evil in a particular object according to the degree to which that object obstructs the reception of pleasure by that individual. In certain cases, an individual cannot tolerate any proximity to a certain object. Thus, the level of understanding of the importance of the Kabbalah and its laws in a person determines the evil that he will discern in the objects that stand in the way of his observance of the spiritual laws. Therefore, if a person wishes to reach the level of hatred towards all evil, he must work on extolling the Kabbalah and the Creator in his mind. Thus, he will cultivate in himself the love towards the Creator, and to the same degree, he'll develop hatred towards egoism. In the Passover reading, there's a story of four sons, each of whom ask a question in regard to the spiritual work of a person. Though all four qualities are present in each of us, and though the Kabbalah usually speaks of a single composite image of a person in relation to the Creator, nonetheless the four qualities can be examined as four distinct types of personalities. The Kabbalah is given for the purpose of our struggling with egoism. If a person has no questions about their own nature, it means that the person has not yet come to realize his own evil, and hence he has no need for the Kabbalah. In this case, the person believes in reward and punishment. He can be aroused by ideas that there is a reward for observing spiritual laws. But if a person already acts for the sake of being rewarded, but still doesn't feel his own egoism, he cannot correct himself, because he has no realization of personal defects. Then, he needs to be taught to observe the commandments selflessly. As a result, his egoism will appear and will ask, "What's the purpose of this work? What will I gain from it? It goes contrary to my wishes." He will then need the help of the Kabbalah in order to begin the work against his egoism, since he began to feel the evil in himself. There's a particular spiritual force, an angel, which is responsible for generating suffering in a person in order to make it clear that that person cannot be satisfied by gratifying one's egoism. This suffering prompts an individual to digress from the bounds of egoism so that he doesn't remain a slave to it forever. It's said that prior to giving the Bible to Israel, the Creator offered it to all the other nations of the world, and they all refused it. A person's like a miniature world that consists of multitudes of desires, and they're called nations. He must know that none of his desires are suitable for the spiritual ascent, except the desire to advance towards the Creator. This desire is known as Israel, from the Hebrew word yashar, straight, and el, God, meaning straight to God. Only by choosing this desire over all the others can that individual receive the hidden wisdom of the Kabbalah. The concealment of one's spiritual level is one of the imperative conditions for a successful spiritual ascent. Concealment of this type implies the performance of actions so that they're not noticeable to others. Most importantly, however, is the concealment of a person's thoughts and aspirations. If a situation arises in which a Kabbalist must express his point of view, he is obliged to blur it and to express it in very general terms so that his true intentions do not become clear. For example, let's suppose that a person makes a large donation in support of Kabbalah lessons, but also puts forth a condition that his name should be printed in the newspaper to announce that he gave a large sum of money in order to receive fame and thereby to get pleasure. However, even though he clearly shows that the main thing for him is to receive honor, it is certainly possible that the real reason is that he does not want to show that he wants this for the spread of Kabbalah. Thus, concealment generally takes place in intentions rather than in actions. If the Creator must send a Kabbalist a feeling of spiritual decline, then first he'll take away the Kabbalist's faith in other great Kabbalists. Otherwise, he could receive encouragement from them and thus would never come to experience a spiritual decline. The multitudes that observe the commandments are only concerned with their own actions, but not with their intentions. It's clear to them that they observe for the sake of the reward, either in this world or in the next. They always have a justification for their actions, and they perceive themselves to be righteous. On the other hand, a Kabbalist who works in correction of his egoism attempts to control his intentions in observing the commandments. He desires to carry out the will of the Creator selflessly, but he encounters the opposition of the body and of constantly obstructing thoughts. Consequently, he feels himself to be a sinner. All this is done for a purpose. The Creator wants to prompt the Kabbalist to engage in constant correction of his thoughts and intentions, so that he will not remain enslaved by his egoism, so that he will not continue to toil for the sake of self like the rest of the people, and so that he'll realize that there is no other way to carry out the will of the Creator except for his sake. It's from this process that a Kabbalist derives a very intense feeling of being worse than the masses. For the masses, the lack of perceiving the true spiritual state is the underlying cause of the physical observance of commandments. But a Kabbalist is obliged to transform his egoistic intentions into altruistic ones. Otherwise, he will not be able to observe the commandments altogether. For this reason, in his own perception, a Kabbalist is worse than the masses. An individual is constantly in a state of war for compliance with his desires. But there's a war of an opposite nature, in which an individual battles against the self in order to relinquish the entire territory of the heart to the Creator, and to fill his heart with one's natural enemy, with altruism. The aim of this battle is to ensure that the Creator should occupy the entire being of the person, but not only because this is divine will, but also because it's desired by the person. Thus, the Creator should govern and guide us because we request this of him. In such a battle, the individual must first and foremost stop equating the self with the body and realize that the body, the intellect, the thoughts and emotions, all of these are external attributes that are sent by the Creator for the purpose of getting that individual to turn to the Creator for help, to ask the Creator to overcome these attributes, to plead for the Creator to strengthen for him the idea of his oneness, and to make him realize that it is he who sends all the thoughts to a human being, to pray to the Creator that he should send faith and a feeling of his presence and his dominion, so that he can counter the thoughts that everything is dependent on himself, and that in this world there's a will and a force other than the Creator. For example, irrespective of the fact that a person knows that the Creator created everything and has dominion over everything, which is the right line, a person may still think that a certain other person did something bad to him or may do something bad to him, which is the left line. On the one hand, an individual is convinced that all actions emanate from a single source, the Creator, the right line. On the other hand, that same individual cannot suppress the thoughts that someone else is affecting him or that the outcome of an event is conditional on something other than the Creator, which is the left line. Such internal collisions between opposing perceptions occur for various reasons, depending on the individual's social ties, until the point when the Creator helps that individual attain the middle line. The battle takes place for the perception of the Creator's oneness, while the obstructing thoughts are sent for the purpose of battling precisely these thoughts, for the victory with help of the Creator, and for the attainment of greater perceptions of his dominion, that is, the attainment of greater faith. If a person's natural war centers on gratifying his egoism, on seizing greater gains, like all wars in our world, the meta-war, that is, the war against his own nature, focuses on relinquishing the dominion over oneself to the enemy, the Creator. The meta-war attempts to surrender the entire territory in his mind and in his heart to the control of the Creator, so that the Creator could fill the territory with both the little world of the individual and the greater world as a whole, so that the Creator should endow all creations with his qualities, but in accordance with their will. A condition in which the desires and the qualities of the Creator occupy all the thoughts and desires of a person is known as an altruistic condition. This includes a condition of giving, a condition of surrendering his physical soul to the Creator, and a condition of spiritual return, or tshuva. All these conditions come forth under the influence of the light of grace, which emanates from the Creator and gives strength to withstand the obstructing thoughts of the body. The above condition may not necessarily be constant. An individual may overcome certain obstructions in his thoughts, but then new waves of thoughts may push that person back. He may once again fall under their influence and develop doubts with respect to the Creator's oneness. Once again, he will have to struggle with these thoughts. Once again, he feels the need to turn to the Creator for help and to receive light in order to overcome these thoughts and to surrender them to the rule of the Creator. The condition in which an individual receives pleasure for the sake of the Creator, that is, not only surrenders to his enemy, the Creator, but also switches to his side, is known as receiving for the sake of the Creator. The natural order of a person's choice of actions and thoughts is such that either consciously or subconsciously, a person always chooses the path that will award him greater pleasure. A person will scorn smaller pleasures for the sake of greater ones. There's no free will or free choice in this process. The right to choose and the freedom to decide appear only at the time when a person decides to reach decisions based on the criterion of truth rather than on pleasure. This occurs only when a person decides to proceed by way of truth despite the sufferings it brings. However, the natural inclination of the body is to avoid suffering and to seek pleasure by any means. This inclination will obstruct a person from making decisions based on the principle of truth. The person who aspires to carry out the will of the Creator must place his personal desires below the desires of the Creator. That person must constantly be concerned with perceiving the grandeur of the Creator, so that he has sufficient strength to carry out the will of the Creator rather than his own will. The degree to which an individual believes in the greatness and the strength of the Creator will determine his ability to fulfill the Creator's desires. Thus, one must concentrate all one's efforts on grasping the grandeur of the Creator. Since the Creator wishes for us to feel pleasure, he created in us the desire to be gratified. There's no other quality in us besides this desire. It indicates our every thought and action and programs our existence. Egoism is known as an evil angel, an evil force, because it regulates us from above by sending us pleasure, and unwittingly we become its slaves. The state of compliant submission to this force is known as slavery or exile from the spiritual world. If this evil angel had nothing to give, it would not be able to obtain dominion over a human being. At the same time, if a human being could forsake pleasures that are offered by egoism, he would not be enslaved by these pleasures. Thus, a person is not able to depart from the state of slavery. But if he attempts to do so, which is considered to be his free choice, then the Creator helps him from above by removing the pleasures with which egoism entices a person. As a result, he's able to depart from the egoism's domain and to become free. Moreover, by coming under the influence of the pure spiritual forces, he experiences pleasure in altruistic actions and becomes instead a servant of altruism. Conclusion. An individual is a slave of pleasure. If he derives his pleasure from receiving, then he's a slave to egoism, a pharaoh, of the evil angel. If he derives his pleasure from bestowing, then he's a servant of the Creator, of altruism. But an individual cannot exist without receiving some form of pleasure. This is the human essence. This is the way the Creator has designed human beings. And this aspect cannot be altered. All that a person has to do is to ask the Creator to bestow upon him a desire for altruism. This is the essence of an individual's free will and of his prayer.